it's just
yeah,
conversation
no, it's good.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Are you nervous?
I guess I always am. I always am nervous when I do something like this. Not that, because I haven't done that many things like this, although more than maybe a couple months ago.
Yeah, you gotta be that close. Just, yeah. Are we live?
We're live.
We're live.
Wow.
I always like to have the awkwardness in the beginning where it's like, I'm really nervous and this is like nerve-wracking and like, I don't even know
again,
what I'm going to say and I don't know what we're going to do and we are live. You find it on there?
I'm looking.
So in the past, we've, for those that do tune in, we have one watching. So in the past, we've shared it during the live stream and then it's added interaction during the show, if you will. Which
yeah.
has been fun because people will ask questions.
Ask questions.
And just makes it awesome. But someone has to watch
sure
those
yeah.
questions. So Josh has watched
I'll
them
watch
in the
those,
past
yep.
and see if they come through. It is Thursdays Downtown. No longer Thursdays on First. Thursdays Downtown. That's the new name.
That is the new name? I
yeah.
didn't
they
know that.
They changed it?
Yeah, they changed it. I didn't know it
I
either.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know it. Someone commented today on my Snapchat that, hey, it's not Thursdays on First. It's Thursdays Downtown. Which makes sense. They're spread
yeah.
out besides just First Avenue.
That
so it
sense.
Is Thursdays Downtown today.
Okay.
And we all had to park a couple blocks away.
Uh-huh.
Some of us walked from our office like
yeah.
you did, right?
Yeah, it's a nice walk.
It was a nice walk. And it's cool because the energy downtown is bustling. You know, it's like there's people out and about enjoying the summer.
Yeah.
It's fun getting down here.
Is it usually busier here like in the afternoon, like noon?
I don't.
I thought I saw like a video or somebody's picture where it was just like jam packed, but
that's
the
evening.
Earlier.
It's
the really?
Evening. Yeah, just wait. I mean, the band will probably start here while we're recording this. We won't be able to
we'll
hear
be,
anything.
Like, listening to the band.
And it will be jam packed tonight, especially the first one because I feel
sure.
like people are not at their cabins. And
this is their first, the first one, huh?
First of this year.
Do you stay usually into the evening so
that
you can?
I have a couple times throughout the year, but I don't like not every Thursday for sure. You know that ends up being a lot.
Yeah,
I would wish I could. Wish I could afford the food every single Thursday.
Right,
night,
it's good food.
It is great food. I try to spread it out. You know, like all right, I'm going this night, but I will tonight. I'm gonna hang
oh,
out
good.
Downtown, so it'll
yeah.
be fun.
Nice.
Tell us more about yourself. We have a special guest today.
Oh, I'm Sylvia DeMott. What do you want to know about me?
Sylvia, where are you from?
Well, I've lived in Rochester for 9 years, but I moved here from Boston. And I lived there for about 13 years. So it's not where I'm from, but it's more of where I'm from than here.
Nice.
So I'm more from the New England area. But I've lived in different places, like the Midwest, as well as Germany a couple times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Boston.
What do you like about Rochester?
I like, it's, you know, I have two children. They're 8 and 11, and it's a really good place to raise your children. I have some very good friends here. It's a growing city, which I like as well.
Mm-hmm.
I like the summertime here. I like the winter, but it lasts too long, I feel like. but it's also a very easy city to live in. You can take 10, 15 minutes and really get to somewhere else without
yeah.
much trouble. And that's nice.
Yeah.
yeah.
It was 4:05 and I was on the southwest side and I'm like, I got to get downtown. And I was here by 4:20, plenty of time.
Yeah, if you get 15 minutes, you're like, you can go all the way.
Yeah.
It's like back and forth all day long. Just, yeah.
So for those of us that don't know, what do you do?
I am a mindset coach. So I work with women entrepreneurs who feel like they're never measuring up to help them get out of their way so they can take inspired action and still live their version of a good life. So that sounds like a handful. And I'm also trained as a therapist, so I also have a private practice in therapy as well that I do.
And you are, I feel like it's downtown. I would call it downtown. You are in the downtown area
yeah.
with your office.
Yeah, I think I am because I'm in the Ironwood Square building and it's literally right across from the government center. And so I was able to see the, was it Flats on 4th?
Yeah, where Fiddlehead is?
Yeah, I saw them build that building, you know, for the whole time that they were doing it. So it's cool.
You referred to it as the building on stilts. And it's funny. I feel like I was referring to it. I don't know where I got it from. But it's like, that is actually a thing. People
is that
call
what
it
you
the,
call it, too?
Yeah, it's the building on stilts.
I instantly knew what she was talking about when she said that. I'm like, oh, yeah, that one.
So for those that don't know, what is it? What is the building on stilts?
It's this building that is built on stilts. And I know I call it that because that's how I tell people to come to me. And it's an office building, although people think sometimes that there are apartments there, things like that.
Or part of government.
Yeah. No? When do you think it was built?
I would guess the 50s or 60s. It just kind of seems to have that era, that feel. That would be my guess, but I don't know.
I didn't even know how to get in the first time.
When you went there?
I was like walking underneath it, like trying to find a door. Like, then I found it. But
yeah, you park underneath the stilts, and then you find this door, and you take the elevator. What floor are you on?
I'm on the 4th floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. How long?
The thing I like about living, or not living there, but working there, is that I never realized, like, what it was like to walk around downtown until I started. Because even if you walk around town, drive downtown and then go down, you still don't get the same sense of what it's like to just walk around the river and go different places. So
yeah,
I really like that.
Yeah, you get to enjoy the community of downtown.
Yeah.
And I think that's, so now being new to downtown with the offices of China Hall, like the sense of community and the people, like today I went to lunch at Thursday's and it was awesome. Like I'm like saying hi to this person and saying hi to that person. And it's just cool because you don't get that in other places. I think there's something to be said about having an office close or in downtown.
Yeah. I'd much rather work there than in a shopping plaza.
Yeah.
And I love being able to walk around.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Yeah, you can get everywhere if you're like downtown and you're just walking, you just go wherever you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have parking with,
I know that makes it nice.
Tell us about some of the projects, some of the things, some of the work you're doing today. Like what's been kind of the mantra of what you're focused on right now? Like, is there a specific area you're trying to help people with or you're targeting, or is there?
So it's really, I'm working with business owners, so small solopreneurs, women who run small businesses, women who want to run a business, who want to have their own business. And I'm really working with them on their, like, what's, they may not realize it, but it's what's going on in between their like right here in the in their mind.
Yeah.
I know I'm not being very articulate right this second, but just helping them to understand their limiting beliefs that keep them from taking action to grow their business. And also working with them on things like perfectionism, self-doubts, comparisons, imposter syndrome, feeling like you're not measuring up, feeling like you're overwhelmed because you've got so much going on in terms of, you know, having a business as well as having a family too. Dealing with those kinds of things, and then also working with people to help them to kind of live the life that they want. You know, so many of us live in default mode so much of the time, which is that, you know, we're doing the things that we're doing, but we're not necessarily thinking, you know, is this the life that I want? Is this really the way that I want to spend my days?
Just kind of going through the motions.
Yeah. And so that's really my passion, is to help people to live that life that they want. And that's probably, like, for me personally, I love being a therapist too, but I have a desire to really help people get to their full potential, you know, to move beyond like working on their symptoms and just getting to functioning, but really kind of moving to where they really want to be, you know, to get past their boxes that they put up for themselves.
So this is women that are in business right now, and then also women that want to become like business owners and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean,
as
some
well.
May have a side hustle and, okay, you know, maybe have a job as well. And some may be business owners. And some may have issues like they need to fire someone and they don't feel comfortable doing that, or they don't feel comfortable setting certain boundaries. And that's where having a coach can come in, because you have someone that's supporting you, that's helping you to recognize where you're kind of not seeing things, and to help you expand your perspective, and then give you accountability.
Yeah, I would think that unbiased opinion, right? Someone from the outside. It's like you get so involved in your business, and then to have somebody be able to look from the outside in and say, have you considered, right? And it's things you just haven't even thought about.
Yeah, you just get caught up in just going and going and going, and you don't step back and think,
I do too. I mean, I get caught up as well all the time.
I do all
you know?
The time, yeah.
You have to really recognize what's happening.
What is it like to have a coach, you know, on a regular basis? Is it something that you meet with someone weekly, monthly, bi-weekly? Like, what would you say is, I'm sure there's not a norm because it can be so much, but what would you say is
it's different. I mean, usually when you have a coach, I mean, coaches do it in different ways. Like when you go to therapy, you pay per session, and you usually, you know, you don't sign a contract that you're going to be working with someone for a year or six months. I mean, you might end up working with them for that long. You might end up working with them for 10 years. But typically it's every week or every other week. And usually it's for a period of time, you know, 3 months, 6 months, sometimes 1 year. And that depends on, you know, the agreement and what you choose to work on. But the thing is that it often takes some time to kind of to work through different changes. And there's an investment then in yourself that you're doing over that time. Have you ever thought about having a coach?
No. Josh, have you ever thought about having a coach?
I had a guy I talked to once in a while, and he kind of has like a mentor, so I think that's kind of like a coach, business mentor. Could be something like
that.
And
did he do another business? Like, how'd you find this guy?
So, well, no, I got recommended, because the guy I usually talk to locally, he uses this other guy in the cities or something like that. And he's just helped him a lot with his, just to grow his business. So I've thought about it and stuff like that, but I haven't done anything yet.
So a mentor is a little bit different than a coach. I mean, a coach can also have a mentoring role. A mentor is someone that might provide more guidance and consultation, and a coach may step into that role as well, like may help someone to learn a specific skill set, or may say, this is what I'd recommend you do. But a coach is really a partner, or at least the way that I was trained and the way I do it, you're really side by side, and the coaching is directed by the client, and the client has all the answers within them. They don't need to go outside of themselves. And so it's really very, it's very much a partnership versus this is what you need to do. Or, you know, I'm giving you my experience. I mean, you might go into that role, but it's directed by the client, not by the coach for the most part. The coach guides the process.
Now, are your clients mostly local, or does it expand and you kind of can do it mobily as well?
Right now it's primarily local, but what I really want, I mean, one of the reasons why I love coaching is that it can be done everywhere, like around the country, around the world, through Zoom. And different than therapy, where I'm kind of restricted by my license to Minnesota and Massachusetts, where I continue to have my licenses, I can go anywhere, which I like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because the business mentor that I spoke to, like, the sessions, I mean, you can meet with him once in a while, but it's over the phone kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of cool too.
So you did it by phone versus by Zoom or Skype?
Yeah, he and we didn't actually do anything yet, but we've talked. He just told me, like, they just do it over there. Yeah, just over call.
What do you want to gain from it?
More business.
Uh-huh.
I mean, me talking to the other guy's name is Jameson, that I've spoke with. He had just helped him really get different ideas to grow his business in different ways. So, I'm a guy that's, I don't know all the answers, you know, I'm doing pretty well, but like, if there's a way that you can do more or do something better, you know, I'm never opposed to learning. So
yeah, you know, it's I go to CrossFit as well, and I have coaches there too, like coaches, you know, that do the workouts with you. And really, the thing about having a coach is that if I just did the workout without the coach there and without any people around me, like, I probably wouldn't work as hard.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yep.
So it's really about kind of, you know, you're working with someone to get to a higher level. And you're also being held accountable to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because we often know what we need to do, but we still don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we give ourselves excuses, or I don't know what.
Like
what
you said, the word of limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
So what's an example of the limiting belief that people would have or could have?
You know, there could be any limiting beliefs. I know that for me personally, that like until like 5 or 6 months ago, I would have had the limiting belief that I can never talk on a podcast. Like, people can't, like, I would sound horrible, like that I just wouldn't be able to speak clearly and smoothly, and that people wouldn't want to know what I want to say. I mean, that is a limiting belief I had. Like, I literally tried to avoid any situation where I'd speak in public or do a presentation or do a Facebook Live or anything like that, because I felt that, yeah, I don't know. I just felt like it wasn't for me. Like, I couldn't do it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think when you say it wasn't for me, it's like, how many people have made that comment, and including myself, of like, no, that's just not for me, right?
Right.
But what do you mean by it's not for me? It's like, have you pushed yourself? Have you had a coach to help push yourself? Have you had a teammate to help push yourself? You know, and that's, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, we can have so many different types of limiting beliefs that we just don't see. We just don't see that it's happening. Like, you know, the limiting belief that you can't have your own business, that you wouldn't be able to figure it out, the limiting belief that, I don't know. What do you think? What do you come up with?
So Megan is saying that there's a whole, she's just saying, like, she thinks that there's just a whole new level of doing it in person than over the phone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which I can definitely see. So, that, you know, that was one of my main questions, like, do you do it over the phone, or, like, you know, can you meet and stuff like that?
Yeah. But, I mean, my goal is to do the coaching business primarily via Zoom. And I do a lot of Zoom in general right now. But I also have a therapy business where I see people in person. Mm-hmm. So I know what it's like to see people via Zoom and also in person. And I absolutely do think that you can do it via Zoom as well. And I've actually, through most of my training that I did as a coach, I did it by phone. And you do get used to that too. Like, you do get used to doing whatever you're used to doing, if that makes sense. I like seeing people. Like, I like seeing them, so you can connect with them. But it's the work that is powerful and that holds you accountable. And at this point, I mean, when you work with a coach, oftentimes you have availability to them as well at other times. So, like, through Voxer or through email and stuff like that. So the boundaries might be slightly different than with a therapist, where you might also still have access to them via email, but you wouldn't, they might not, it'd be a different relationship.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
What do you think?
Maybe it's not for me.
Why do you think that? I'm just curious.
I just bring that up is because that's what we just said, but I just never have had a coach, and I don't know if it's being stubborn, right?
Yeah.
Or not.
But
not,
you do have partners, though.
I do, right?
That's what
you
I
know,
was
that's
thinking.
That's what I feel like. Is like,
that is part of your accountability and, like, growth is partners.
And there, yes, exactly. But would I consider them a coach?
No.
Mm. Like, when I think of coach, I go back to Little League days of, like, looking up to my coach of, like, that's my coach. Like, what the coach says goes, you know? And so
this is a much different relationship. It's much more, it's not a hierarchical relationship necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, depending on how comfortable you are, like, I have a business coach, and I will just say what I think. Like, I'm feeling uncomfortable at this moment, or what you said brought up this for me, or it's really hard for me to listen to your podcast because I start comparing myself to you when I do that.
Hmm.
You know, I'll just bring it up, but you know, I'm also within this profession, so you know, I'm used to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you? But
one thing that I think is awesome on this podcast already, I'll tell you, Josh, is she's asking questions back.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
That's right.
Usually people are like, all right, what's the next question, right?
Oh, man, I have to think now.
Don't ask me a question. That's not how this works.
But this is what I do all day, though, I ask people questions. And I also think that you must have some limiting beliefs around coaching.
Right. I feel as though, personally, I'm stubborn of, like, I'll figure this out myself.
Hmm.
I don't want to bug other people with I don't know if I would say problems, but hurdles, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't want to bug other people with my hurdles.
Why not?
Because we all have our own list of hurdles, and I'll own my hurdles to my best ability, right? And I'll try to get over them myself, and not to say people haven't helped me, because people have absolutely helped me, but I don't feel that I go out trying to find somebody to help get me over it.
Mm. So it sounds like you feel like it's a crutch to get help from someone or to be challenged to think about something differently.
I think it's, I think it's just, I don't want to bother people.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, it's like, you guys got your own hurdles. Like, I'll be over here.
I mean, this is someone that you're paying to work
with
you. Yes,
absolutely. Right.
And you're investing in your own growth.
Right.
So it's an investment in yourself.
Right.
To not necessarily that you bypass the hurdles, but that you figure out a way to move through them
faster,
or you understand what's happening, or you decide that maybe you want to choose a different way that you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think when I was looking at that mentor, it was what appealed. What was appealing to me is that he had helped, you know, I'm looking at his like reviews and stuff like that, all these companies taking startups to this or taking companies from 3 million to 5 million in a year. And I'm like, that kind of stuff was like, okay, can this guy actually help me come up with different ideas that would make me more money and something like that?
What is your dream?
To have a media agency, I think, in Rochester that can do all sorts of different types of marketing for different businesses.
Okay.
Yeah. So like right now it's a lot of video and stuff like that, and I absolutely love it. We've gotten a little bit into the social media marketing stuff, but I'd love to be able to have a team that can just full service come in and just revamp everything and really help you out, like in a marketing standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that just came to mind for me is, remember our podcast with Jay Meyer? He was the founder of Meyer Forest and Tree, and he eventually sold that company.
Oh, yeah.
But one thing he said is, I wish earlier on I would have went out and looked for help and asked questions, because I would have got through some of the hurdles faster, smoother, and so on.
Yeah.
And, like, it comes back to me now of, like, that's probably that coach role of like some of these hurdles I may not have had to
take. Like, life doesn't always have to be hard.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's cool.
I feel like change. I want to keep working with you on this.
That's sweet.
I need to let it go.
So let's switch a little bit. Let's talk about social media, because like you said, you didn't picture yourself being on social a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, I actually was off of Facebook for about 6 years. I deactivated my account.
Okay.
And before I deactivated, I might have only had 60 people or 70 people. And really, unless you were my best friend or my close relative, I really did not accept your friendship at all.
Yeah.
And so, but the thing is that this is the, I mean, it took me getting into coaching to want to work on this, to want to get past that for myself. I think that One thing about social media for me, I'm a sensitive person, and I wouldn't say that I don't share myself with people, because I do. Like, I think I'm open and I can be quite vulnerable and real, but I get, like, it takes energy from me, like, to be on social media. Like, it's energy, like, that gets kind of zapped, or I start to compare myself, or things like that. Like, all the things that I might do a Facebook Live on comparison, but it's because I also compare myself. So, and I just haven't, I want to keep working on finding a way to do it in a way that actually makes sense. It's funny, because today I did from 12 to 2 today, I participated in a webinar that I paid for on social media productivity, like how to get in and kind of get out, and, you know, how to really think about how you want to present yourself. And so I do want to do this. You know, I do want to do this because I want to become more visible and be out there to connect with people. But I'm 44 years old. It's not as comfortable as if I really grew up on it. And Instagram, that's something that Alexis Simmons, who you had on as a guest,
yeah,
she's the one that showed me how to do Instagram, and I did it. And then I did it for about a month. I felt I didn't batch it, and I felt like it really, I enjoyed it. I liked it more than Facebook in a lot of ways. Like, I felt more comfortable. I feel like you could share more, like, connected to a post. But I didn't know how to batch it. And
what do you mean batch it?
Like, maybe the daily pictures that you might put out, maybe you can schedule them beforehand or something like that. Mm-hmm. Not your story. I don't want to always be on my phone. That's the thing, too. Like,
right.
I don't want to. Like, I want to be more present. And I'm not a lot of times. You know, I'm not as present as I want to be. So it got a little bit hard. And so then I stopped. And then I went away and I traveled and I decided to share more. And I think it's, you know, this is going to sound crazy to you, but when I first started sharing again on social media a little bit, like on Facebook, like, that would stress me out at night. Like, I'd have trouble sleeping at night in the beginning. You know, right now I actually do a Facebook Live every week. That's maybe in the last 5 months. You know, I started doing it once in a while. I had an experience that got me to do that. And then I just kind of kept moving towards it. But that even, like, I actually really enjoy video. I really enjoy it. But, you know, it's a process of learning how to get more comfortable with it.
Have you seen results in your business?
I'm seeing that people know more of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm also feeling like I didn't realize how much I'd have to get out there to really be known. Because if you want to build a business that is not geographic dependent, you really need to become visible to other people, and for people to trust you too, because this isn't something where you're just buying $20 or $50. So you really need people to trust you.
Right.
And to connect with you and resonate with you.
Right.
Because not everyone is the right fit for you. And you're not the right fit for everyone.
I think that's one unique thing about social, is that as you put yourself out there more with your business, I think you can naturally attract the customers, the clients that are more fit for you, because they resonate with you prior to even contacting
you.
Which I think is sweet, right?
Yep.
Because then you're just chatting with people that are more like you or get along with you better or easier.
Yeah.
What is it like for you? Like, when you hear what I'm saying, what do you think?
I think it makes perfect sense. I don't think that, I was telling you before we started this yesterday, and I'm all over social, relatively speaking. Like, I'm pretty comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Yesterday I got nervous doing a Facebook Live. Like, I was not representing my personal business. It was a family business. I was doing something I hadn't done before, and I was nervous. I mean, like, and I'm proficient in social, relatively.
Yeah.
So I get it 100% if you're coming from not doing it at all growing up, you know? I started when I was 16 or whatever.
Yeah.
I still get nervous, so it makes perfect sense. But I cannot stress enough of how important it is as a small business owner. Like, you and I can name several where it's like they aren't as active as they should be. And if they were more active, I think Josh and I will agree, we think they would have more business.
And what kind of things are they not doing that you think they should be doing?
Bottom line, documenting what you do. Document your day, get into
like Gary V or whatever.
Yeah, 100%. I am a big subscriber. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people get so wrapped up in the perfection and so wrapped up in how it needs to be shiny, and I'm subject to it myself, right? Does the photo look good? Does it not look good? Just test and put out different stuff to see what works and what doesn't. What feels natural, you know? I think that's the biggest thing, just documenting, right?
Yeah. How much do you look at the I don't know why I'm having trouble thinking. The analytics.
Never.
Okay.
Hardly. Yeah. I just looked at my phone the other day, screen time, because someone was like, how much are you actually on your phone? I was like, I would hate to look. And I looked, and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of analytics here. It tells you how many minutes you're in your messenger, how many minutes you're in your email. I was like, holy buckets. That is crazy. But no, I never do.
I just want to say, the one thing that has helped me in terms of posting and being willing to put myself out there is just recognizing that as long as I'm willing to be authentic, or as authentic as I can be in that moment, you know, when you put yourself on a live video, you're not going to act the same way that you do when you're getting your breakfast ready. But, well, maybe you will, but do you know what I'm saying? Like, when you can be authentic, if I can be authentic, then it is okay. Like, it is okay if someone, I mean, it still would hurt. It hurts if someone doesn't like me or whatever, but it is, if I'm sharing something that I think is important with you, and I actually have my own little motto that I say before I go on live, which is, I have something important to share, something that allows you to feel encouraged, inspired, and supported. Or I actually say it's encouraged, supported, and loved. So I mean, that is what the message that I want to share with you, like everything coming from that place of wanting to be helpful to you, wanting to support you, wanting to share things with you, wanting you to feel like you're not alone on this. And so then it becomes easier for me to let go of the outcome around it, or to let go of the fact that, you know, like I smile on one side, but not the other, it seems like.
One thing that I think has helped is the face filter function. So it allows me to be goofy because it's like, oh, it's built in, and it's like, I see other people do it, so I kind of have to do it. Isn't that fun? Like,
yeah,
that
do you use
function.
That on Facebook or just on Instagram?
I'll do it on Instagram or Snapchat. I think where it first was introduced was Snapchat.
I see you on Snapchat a lot.
Yeah. Yep. And I think it's just smoother on Snapchat, and I like the filters better. They're more creative. Yeah. But that being said, I think that feature is funny how it has broken down some barriers of like, I can do this, you know?
My kids do it all the time, actually, because when they're at their dad's house, we FaceTime, and then I just don't even see their face. I see a fox. I see, you know, like all these other creatures.
But I think it's that other, I don't know what you call it, but that ability where if you put on a mask right now and you go down to Thursday's downtown, like no one knows who you are.
That's true.
It's a little, it's, you can kind of, whether you want to call it act yourself or act, you know, different than just be kind of you without people knowing. It's funny how that can break down those barriers. And I think that same thing happens with filters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where you put on that thing, of course it's you. It's your username. Come on. But it also gets you to be like, all right, I can do something different.
I can be silly.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. I think that's a funny feature, how it works.
Yeah, that's really cool.
If you had to give advice to someone that was losing sleep over doing stuff on Facebook, what would be some advice you would give them?
What kinds of things are they losing sleep on?
Similar to what you were. Just putting, I don't know exactly what it was, but, you know, I put that out there, and it is that right or is that wrong? Should I, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I think to let it go if you can, but to recognize that if this is something that you're doing because you want to get more visible or you want to share more of yourself for whatever reason, that it is okay. And also just that it will get more comfortable over time. But I also think, too, I mean, you have to understand what you want to share, too. And you can decide what feels right to you. Like, you can decide that, you know, this is an area of my life I don't want to share. And you can also, I think, well, I don't do, you know, I actually, like, unfriended some people, like, before, like, I really started to use Facebook again. Because I felt more comfortable. Even though I might put something on public, it just felt better for me. And not really many. I mean, most people are, I mean, everyone is, I just, you can do what's right for you is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I like that.
What is your suggestion, Josh? or Bucky?
I would say go try some filters. Seriously.
Yeah.
Go try some filters and put it out there with the filters.
Yeah.
I think for me, before I had a business, it seemed like it was a lot harder. And then I think now with having a business, it just made it easier because to me it was, I'm doing this for my business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's less like, what are people going to think about me? You know, stuff like that. It's just, you're just putting yourself out there to help promote your business and kind of stuff. The other thing that I strive to do, especially at the beginning, was like, on purpose, like, go do things that made you uncomfortable, you know, just to get used to more and more stuff.
What makes you uncomfortable?
Public speaking.
Okay.
Yep. So I got invited to speak at a conference, and it actually got canceled, which was like, yes. Like, at the time, I agreed to it because, again, that was like my big thing, do something that scares me.
Yeah.
And I was just freaking out for like weeks just because, you know, I'm just not used to doing that kind of stuff. And I think, you know, podcasting and going live and stuff like that definitely helps, but it's still a whole new thing getting in front of a crowd.
Right, everything is new.
But I was relieved when it got canceled. I was relieved.
You have to find your next thing to do then.
Yeah, my next speaking event and something like that.
I spoke at my first, I had never really spoken in public, I feel like, in a formal presentation, but I joined BNI to learn, to practice that every single week in a networking group. And so I did my first 10-minute presentation, like with a PowerPoint behind me in February. And then I was asked to give a presentation somewhere else. So I gave my first 45-minute presentation in May.
Wow.
And with PowerPoint. And, you know, I would have never said yes before, but this time when I got the email, I actually was like, yes, I do want to do this. I get to do this. But it was scary. It was scary kind of creating it. But
do you think the BNI helped?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
because even if it's just 1 minute of giving a pitch or a presentation, it is a practice. And so you're getting used to putting yourself out there every single week. And so even doing that 10-minute presentation was enough to help me to move to the 45-minute. And then I think the other thing that was helpful to me was to recognize that it could be my own information. Like, I didn't have to make a dissertation based on other people's work. You know, it was my own ideas that I got to put out there. Mm-hmm. And then I practiced. Like, I did practice. I practiced in front of teddy bears and in front of emoji pillows and then in front of a neighbor. And then I did it via Zoom with my friend in Hong Kong. I mean, like, I practiced.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to keep doing that. That's one of the things I want to keep doing.
Yep.
Like, I want it to be fun. I want it to be something I love to do, which is something I wouldn't have ever thought before.
The practice definitely does help.
It
like
does.
Doing that repetition. I had to do one, you know, in college or whatever, and it was like, I think I went through that in front of a mirror, then one person, then two, then four, and then, I mean, before you do it, it was like, you know, 30 people had seen it multiple times.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, now I'm more comfortable saying it.
Yeah.
Then just getting on the spot and being like, oh, everybody's looking at me. I don't know what I'm talking about. But once you actually, like, do the research and know what you're talking about, have presented in front of people, then I think it's a lot easier.
I was listening to a podcast with Tim Ferriss, and he interviewed Susan Cain, who's written a book about introversion. And they were talking about giving their first TED Talks and how much they both freaked out during that process. And it was so interesting for me because I had in my head that anyone that did public speaking wasn't scared of it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or that if you could do one type, that you would be okay with the other types. Like, but now I actually realize that you could be very comfortable talking about something in your business or your profession, but not be comfortable talking about something in your personal life. Or you could be comfortable, you know, teaching in front of a group of people, but you might not be comfortable raising your hand and asking a question. And someone like a Tim Ferriss or a Susan Cain can be a very good public speaker because they freak out so much, you know, like beforehand, that they're really like doing all the work that they need to do to get it to that place. where it gets to be.
Hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
We made it.
Where are we in?
40 minutes.
Oh.
Do you believe that?
Oh.
It felt like 10.
Yeah. That's the way it is, I find.
It is. You were nervous in the beginning.
Yeah, I was. I still am a little bit, but I'm better now. I actually can talk right now.
Right. So we got water. Thank you to Snappy Stop. Thank you to Snappy.
The Snappy sponsor.
Yes, exactly. This is, I think, before we wrap it up, maybe we go around and let's see. I don't know what we do. I'm trying to think. What shall we do?
One thing that I did like that you said earlier was getting onto social to grow, especially because you know, your focus kind of local right now, but you really can go all over the place.
Yes.
And I like that you said that, like, having that social is really important for that specific thing.
Right.
Because I was even talking to a guy that, you know, he's trying to get into apparel. Apparel is obviously everywhere. But I'm like, first, you got to lock down the local market.
Got
really
it.
Build that, build your solid foundation, and then start getting used to it, and then kind of grow from there.
Yeah.
But you got to be like, I mean, nailing the social media to like successfully just really get your stuff out there and become something that people see, trust, and like, yep, I want to contact her for, you know.
I would agree. I mean, there's no better way to break the barriers of the community you live in than social in today's era.
Mm-hmm. You know? I'm just curious. It seems like, I get the sense, Bucky, that you don't batch what you're doing. Like, you just kind of post things as they come, but maybe I'm not.
I post things as they come, but I will every single week take today, Thursday, every Thursday, and I'll record what's happening in the community, and then I'll batch it, I'll save it, and I'll put it out as a highlight, or I'll put it out as a story that can be found once again.
Okay.
So, but if I'm going like just a regular day where I'm just kind of documenting, I usually don't batch that.
Okay.
It's not, you know, you can't find it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like when I put a lot of energy into creating some content. Mm. Heck yeah, I batch it, as you would call it.
Sure.
Right? I save it because then I can reuse it and distribute it.
Yeah.
I remember one year I did, what did I learn on social media in 2016 or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
And I saved that whole story and then I repurposed it by putting it out on YouTube and a couple other places. But I made it all on Snapchat. But I saved the video the whole day, and then I put it out on YouTube.
Wow.
Because it's like, I put a lot of energy in that. I'm like editing and like putting all kinds of bitmojis and like trying to make it look fancy. It's like, I can't allow that to just go off into Neverland and never see it again. So
I'm going to ask you, can I ask you a really basic question around Instagram?
Yes.
When I did it for that 1 month, I didn't get that many. I mean, I don't know how to, like, I just know how to post and go from and like write something. Like, in order to get followers, you actually need to start following other people. That do you need to like tag them, or what is it that helps you to create a following?
I think the great thing to say is there's so many different ways. There's no one right way.
Okay.
Right. And there's probably no one way to get the most besides buying them, which is a fake way of doing so.
there's definitely don't do good that. Practices.
But there's good practices, right? And so some of the things that can help is hashtags. Simply putting hashtags and not necessarily putting the super broad hashtags when you post to your profile.
Mm-hmm.
Because
fake followers.
Because if you put more niche hashtags, for example, instead of just putting hashtag Realtor, putting hashtag Realtor Life, the people that are probably using Realtor Life are a little more serious about social media because they recognize that same hashtag.
Sure.
And so using those hashtags properly will lead to people finding your profile. That's probably the way that I've found the most real estate related people online that I in other communities that I otherwise wouldn't have found, which then we bump ideas every once in a while back and forth, or we give some encouragement to everyone. But what's another way you could share even locally, you know?
Locally, because I mean, that was one of my biggest things, was like, people can have however many followers they want, but for me and my business, because it's local, you know, other people from who knows where, if it's not from here, like a surrounding town, it doesn't really help me do anything. Like, so I've been, you know, hyper focused on just local. And I think a big way that did it was following local people and not just liking their stuff, but kind of engaging with them.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot from that again, the hashtags are important too. But if I put anything like a big hashtag, I'm getting all these fake followers and stuff. I block like 15 people a day, I think, because I know they're fake. And to me, knowing what's going on, if I have all these followers, but every time I post my engagement's low, that ratio just looks terrible.
Mm.
So Instagram automatically thinks that your post isn't that important. So like, I know that all of those don't help me.
I see.
So I'm like, I'd rather get rid of the fake ones and just keep the authentic ones that actually are local or that engage or like a part of what I'm doing.
Because
I know that helps me a lot more than just showing a higher number in the long run.
I don't block anybody. who's got time for that? Like, oh, they followed me? Okay. Like, great. No. I don't dig into everybody's profile, though, either.
Yeah.
You know, like, who's this that just followed me?
Yeah. I don't block people, though. Sometimes I get random men from other countries that are...
I won't lie. I mean, there's some where it's like I've dug in, like, they've made a comment, right? And it's all bold text, and it's like... follow or let you know, it's like, what is this? And you click on it, it's like, okay, block. But relatively speaking, if you looked at the ratio, I don't block a lot.
Sure. You just keep doing your thing.
Yeah, exactly. Just keep going. Yep. Yep.
And that's what's helped you too is that longevity of like having a big foundation like already to where, you know, it doesn't even really matter anymore.
Fair. I think the other thing is, and we're getting more into it, but the collaboration, just like we're doing here.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
You know, because now some of your friends see what we're doing, and who knows if they know somebody that wants to be on the podcast, or they just share it, which next thing you know, they're up here doing something.
Yeah.
So that collaboration can go a long ways, and it's not too difficult. They're making it even easier to collaborate. Mm. We just talked about Instagram Live, how you can have somebody join your Instagram Live. Like, they recognize that collaboration is not only going to help you, but they recognize it's going to help their platform because
that's great. That's a win-win.
Yeah, we've been doing more of that.
Oh, that's a big one.
That's the video I was nervous about yesterday because I got called out by a business to give a clue for Nerding Out Con coming in August, and two other small businesses had given clue 1 and 2. I had to do clue 3 for the Snappy Stop. And like, I tagged each of their businesses and then tagged Nerding Out, and like, that collaboration just goes so much further for everybody. So
that's really cool.
You kind of got to force that collaboration at times.
Yeah.
And then once I did it, I'm like, we need to be doing more of that. Like, what?
Yeah. It's great that you're able to do it. Like, that you still did it even though you're nervous. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it wasn't so nerve-wracking.
No,
but
it's because we do this stuff. But if it was like 5 years ago, I'd been like, I don't know if I could.
I think it was just because there's a tongue twister.
That too.
Can you say the tongue twister?
No. Absolutely not. Josh, can you say the tongue twister? I was like asking Josh what the different words were. I'm like, doth or doth?
Doth or doth?
Doth?
And it was like, a lot of movie references and like comic type
snicker,
stuff.
Snicker, snicker.
Yeah.
I do remember that. I don't remember what they were referring to. Yeah. All over my head. I hope someone finds a medallion though so they get a free VIP ticket to Nerding Out Con in Rochester.
Oh, that's in
it's in Rochester.
Yeah.
Second
year interesting.
Down at the Grand Marina.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's Nerding Out is
okay, this is awful. I don't even know where the Grand Marina is.
Yeah, Fairgrounds.
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah. Of course.
That's good. All right, we're at the part of the show where you get to share where people can find more about what you got going on. And
So I'm Sylvia DeMott, and you can find me at sylviademott.com. And I'm also on Facebook, Sylvia DeMott Coaching. And then... I'm on Instagram some, but it's also Sylvia DeMott Coaching, and you know, I'm happy to connect with people. So if you have questions or you want to learn more about coaching, you know, I'd be happy to connect. So
awesome, Josh.
And I'm Josh Langmaid. I'm on MediaCorp. Just shoot me a follow on Facebook or Instagram, just at MediaCorp.
And I'm actually going to save mine for the guy sitting over here, if I can get him over here. Drew, your turn. So, Office of the China Hall, we've been really trying to collaborate with the community more.
Cool.
And right here, you get this spot. And one way we're doing it is an art show coming up.
Oh,
and
cool.
And this is one of the local artists that's having that show.
Oh, neat.
So, share about what you got going on. Awesome. Right there on the mic. Sweet. I'm Drew Streif, and I'm going to be hosting an art show for local visual artists as well as a few musicians, and it's going to be photographers, illustrators, painters. It's just going to be local, free admission. June 20th, Thursday, at the offices at China Hall from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., and we'll have music at 9. And that's pretty much it.
Awesome.
See you guys there.
And where can people find you on Instagram?
They can find me at Drusif_DRESIF_ or_Drusif, either or.
There it is.
Right, cool.
Awesome.
Thank you for joining the podcast.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
We're out. Let's go enjoy Thursdays.
Thank you.